You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, September 21st, 2015. You're listening to episode 172. My name's Rob. Jason, I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
I made some horrible mistakes today.
Shocker.
I had some really, really horrible mistakes. Like, it all started on my lunch break today at work.
What'd you order for lunch?
I had a Whopper from Burger King.
Oh, yeah. Where is there even a Burger King near us?
It's down the road. Well, actually, there's two of them equidistant from our office. Huh.
You want to know a story about Burger King real quick to cut your story off?
I'm not sure if I do, but...
No, listen. So where we used to work, there was a Burger King across the street, right?
I remember that.
And it was super inconvenient to get to because of its placement next to
terrible.
The highway.
It was a joke.
And literally, after like 5 years of working there and that and trying to go there a few times, and it was so bad, my brain became hardwired to think of the word Burger King and the word inconvenient. So like anytime I see Burger King, I just think inconvenient and I don't go there. Seriously.
Yeah. Well,
all because
of that one Burger
because
King.
Of that one Burger
It's gone
King.
Now. It's all turned
down. You know why? Because it was so inconvenient.
Yeah. Because nobody went ever.
Okay. Now continue with your terrible life story.
Well, I'm just saying that eating that Whopper and those French fries was the wrong way to start the second half of my work day.
Yeah. I saw you went to meetings, so that must have been fun.
Yeah, and then sitting in meetings and just thinking about this lump of uranium that is stuck. I mean, it's so heavy and it's still there, right?
Gullet.
Yeah, and then I got home from work and I thought, well, I got to eat something before I go record. And so, what did I eat? I ate pizza rolls.
You're an idiot. I mean, really, that's just dumb.
I've made some bad choices.
Yeah.
I've made real bad choices.
You know what I had for dinner tonight?
What did you have for dinner?
Pork adobo.
I don't know what that is.
Adobo is a Filipino food.
Okay.
Steph learned how to make it. So,
yeah.
With Ro's teaching, our friend Ro, who's actually legit Filipino, taught Steph, told Steph it was okay for her to make it.
Oh, okay.
And stepped in, and then it was delicious.
Okay.
So, she got permission from the Filipino mafia.
Right. Because Steph's a, do they have a word? It wouldn't be gringo, and it wouldn't be Gentile. Is there
Gentile?
You know, is there a word for the English in Filipino?
No, I don't know.
There's got to be one.
I don't know.
What other? I mean, so yeah, there's Gentiles. There's those words that I already used. Are there other ones? I know there's got to be other words. Are you texting Ro right now?
I'm texting.
Yeah.
Right now.
Hopefully by the end of the show we'll have an answer for that. The other thing that I'm really, really, really kind of done with right now, and I don't mean this in any kind of a disparaging way, because I'm madly in love with the game.
Oh no!
But man, I have played so much Saloon Tycoon, dude.
I understand the feeling.
I've played so much of that game, and we're recording this before my final rolls are due, so I've got another week's worth of games ahead. I think I've got 3 games scheduled still later this week to play with people, and as many times as my wife can tolerate it, 2-player in the evenings after work. I mean, it's good, and it means that I'm gonna feel real good about it when it's done, that I feel like I have tested it as thoroughly as I can and gotten all the game balance as rock solid as possible. So it means I'm gonna have a ton of confidence in it, but I'm gonna be real glad to turn those rules in and just not look at it for a month.
Yes.
You know? So that'd be nice. I mean, I'll take it with me to Grand Con because I should, because I need to, because that's
important.
People
are going to want to play it, Rob.
People are going to want to play it, and that's important. And
Builders are going to want to play it. But the good news is you can watch them play it. You don't actually have to
play it. Exactly. Yeah, I can help them get set up.
Is oddly gratifying. Like, yeah. I remember at the last Unpub watching people play Ramblers after playing so much of it myself, and it was like, oh, this is nice. Like, people are having fun with my game and I don't have to play it.
Yeah.
Because a game can be great. It could be your favorite game ever. If you have to play it like 100, 200 times, man, you want to set it on fire.
I've played Saloon Tycoon at least 200 times now. At least 200 times.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, probably close to 50 times just since Gen Con I've played that game.
Wow.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, so probably close to 50 times I'm exaggerating, probably close to 40 times since Gen Con. So including Unpub last year, 200 is probably about right.
I mean, you've been playing it for a couple of years now, right?
Right.
Since inception.
Since inception, yeah. Like 2.5 years since the original idea, since my original tower building game.
Innkeepers,
and now Slim Tycoon. Yeah. Anyway, so that has been kind of occupying all my time. Though I did play something else the other night. I played Small World Underground.
How's that?
It's great. Small World's great.
I know Small World's great. How's Small World Underground?
It's basically Small World.
Which is an expansion?
Yeah, it's a separate game box. There's a few extra little things added to it, but it's Small World. I mean, that game is spectacular, you know?
That's a really smart way to sell an expansion.
Sell a whole new other copy of the game?
Whole new copy of the game.
New art.
Like two new things, new art and stuff. Yeah. Like, because if you own it and you love Small World, you want it because you want to like have the new stuff. But if you've never played Small World, hey, you could just buy that.
Yeah, right. Yep. So yeah, that is super great. That same night, Christine played Dead of Winter.
How was that?
She enjoyed it. She's not, you know, it's a survival game, right?
Right.
Yeah. So she was playing it with three other people, and all three of them were just loving every second of it. And Christine had fun, but she's not into survival games, you know.
Okay.
And so she said, you know, I like the game. I had a lot of fun playing the game. But it went a little too long for me, and there was a lot of stuff to manage the whole thing. It just wasn't her thing.
Well, hey, I mean, my suggestion would be that she comes to Grand Con and she fist fights John Gilmore.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
That would be
He's a super nice dude, though. He might not want to fight her.
Probably wouldn't do that. She will be coming to Grand Con.
Maybe you should fist fight John Gilmore for her honor.
I don't do that. You're right. He's a nice guy. I don't want to.
Super nice guy.
I bet he could take me too, actually.
You'd be a super jerk.
Yeah, he could probably.
He's nice, but I bet you he's sly, right? Like, all of a sudden he just like starts punching you.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think John listens to the podcast.
I don't know.
Let's hope not.
So anyway, but I'd actually never seen the game up close and personal like that before. And holy cow, it's elaborate, man. They've got those cardboard standees. There's some serious production value in
that
game.
Plaid hat.
They do it, man.
And they're like, let's make this game enormous.
Yeah.
Remember, what was that game?
Was it the BioShock game?
Yeah, the BioShock game. Like that game, right? Like that, I thought that was a really good game.
It was good.
Way overpriced, and they've come way down on price. I still haven't bought it. Because
I think I saw it at Barnes & Noble a few weeks ago for like $25. I almost bought it.
I probably would have snagged it for that. The components alone are worth more than that.
Yeah,
I think. But
I almost did.
That's a game where like they went so component heavy, and I feel like they just did it to up the value so they could sell it for more, right?
Well, the more components you put in there, the more opportunity there is for art to tie it into the license, you know? I think that's kind of what they went for.
I don't know. That was a game that should have been like a $30 game with a lot cheaper components.
Yeah.
You could have had tons of tokens.
Sure.
Like chipboard tokens. It would have been great.
Yeah.
It would have been the same game.
Well, there was already a ton of chipboard in that.
Yeah,
plus a bunch of minis.
There was also
a
ton of plastic minis.
Yeah.
And the minis weren't anything fancy.
Yeah,
do minis.
Fine.
Do minis. Be crazy.
Yeah.
Or do cardboard standees like they did for Dead of Winter. I like cardboard standees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they have a little something. They had a little flair. Because you could have real artwork on those, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, hey.
Instead of just red plastic.
I love standees, man. I love standees. I think they're cool. In fact, for years now, I've been trying to think of some way to do a game with standees that makes sense for me, and I just haven't found that game yet.
I'm not surprised.
But I want to do that.
It's not your style.
Yeah, I want to do that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a plan and everything how I could do that on GameCrafter. You know, I mean, I've already worked it out, you know, design-wise, graphically.
You could put standees in Saloon Tycoon and have them be kaiju that are breaking the saloon.
I'm not going to do that. But if you want to pitch that to AJ as a as an expansion? I'm sure he'd be happy to listen. What have you been playing? Oh, we played something else together. We played Castle. Just Castle. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's an old Fiduti somebody else game.
Yeah.
I just know Fiduti.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny because you guys all, it was you, Christine, myself, and our friend Alan from work, and we started playing it, and you guys were all very skeptical. I could tell you were like, oh, there's a lot of words on these cards.
Oh, man, how am I going to remember all this crap?
You're like, what is it? And I'm just like, I'm waiting, because that's how everybody is when they play that game at first. I'm like, I'm just waiting. I'm like, and then by the end, you guys are like, this is really fun.
Yeah.
So basically the game is you've got this castle in front of you, and it's just these four walls, and then there's a courtyard in the center, and the outside is outside of the walls, and then there's on the walls, and then in the towers there's four towers, and you have a hand of cards, which are just people.
Yeah.
Some unique and some repeats, like soldiers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And your whole goal is to you have a hand of like six cards, say, and then a deck of like 11. And on your turn, you get two actions. Mm-hmm. You can play a tile, draw a tile, mm-hmm. or swap a tile from what's called the exchange to these extra cards. And you can do two actions. You can repeat the same action twice if you want.
Yep.
And the whole point of the game is to play all the cards in your hand and all the cards in your deck. Be the first one to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's way harder than it sounds like. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and it felt weird because in that first couple of rounds, we kept putting cards out and then having cards go away and put cards. Right. And it was like a little bit frustrating. You're like, what am I even... I mean, nobody's getting anywhere here. But then we kind of stopped doing that to each other because we all realized that we weren't getting anywhere.
Well, eventually, too, as you get more cards down, it gets... Yeah, because you're like, wow, I could keep playing cards and make people put cards up, or I could just try and play cards.
Yeah.
And those make you pick cards up are actually better later in the game when you're like, I need to play there, and I can't because you're in the way.
Right.
Let me make you go away.
Yeah. So it was good. It was interesting.
It's a really fun game with two players because it's super thinky because
you've just
got two players.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, it's like, this is easy. And you know that if you screw with the other player, they're going to screw with you because there's no other option.
Yep.
So you guys spent like the last six turns just trying to stop me from winning.
Yeah.
And I eventually won, but it was close. Like,
it was
basically
close.
Like, everybody's trying to stop me and I'm trying to stop one of you guys because you guys aren't paying attention to each other.
Yeah.
So you'd get down to two cards and I'd screw someone over.
Yeah. There was a point late in the game where I kind of sat back and I said, all right, well, I'm out of this game. There's no way I'm going to win. And then about six turns later, I thought, oh, you know what? I have a chance.
Right.
Yeah. And that was actually really rewarding to realize that. I liked that a lot.
Well, because everybody stops focusing on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And everybody starts focusing on what they're doing. Because once you have two cards left in your hand, if you can play those cards without a problem, you're going to win the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is so many times the cards have bad interactions. Like, I had a soldier card and I had a siege engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to play a siege engine, but as soon as I played a siege engine, it would make four out there. And once four siege engines are out, all the soldiers come back to your hands. And I had a ton of soldiers out there. And there was a point where you guys were trying to sabotage me, so I sabotaged myself just to try and make it more difficult.
So that you maintain control.
Yeah. And it actually worked. So
yeah, it worked out well for you.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a really good game. So. Yeah, that's one that's out of print. And we chatted about this also a little bit when we were playing, or after we played, that it's a game that it's like, it's out of print, and you can buy a copy of it on eBay or something, and it's, you know.
$100 I've seen it for.
Right. And that's kind of sad, and it made me think of Plague and Pestilence, which I haven't talked about in a while, you know.
Right.
But that's one of those games that it's out of print, and it's one of the best little small card games that I've ever played, and I love it. And I would love to own a copy of it, but I don't want to spend, you know, $100-$200 for a copy on eBay.
Right.
So it's the kind of thing where if you just wanted your own copy, right, you could kind of just make a new copy. Put it on a print on demand service and just buy a copy for yourself, right?
Yeah, as long as you didn't use the art, I don't think they could do anything.
Because
you
can't patent a game mechanic.
Right.
You can patent the rules.
Right.
You know, you can copyright the rules.
As written. Like, it's just like a recipe.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that copyrights a recipe isn't the ingredients, it's the order in which you put them in your recipe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So it's the kind of thing that, like, it makes me stop and think about a game like Plague and Pestilence where I think, gosh, I would just love to play that again, but how do I do that?
Right.
If I could just get my hands on the information from those cards, I could just make my own copy of the game just for myself, just so I can play that game again. And you know what, builders out there, I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you have any feelings about that kind of an idea? Has that ever occurred to you? I would just, you know.
Do you want to admit that if it has?
No. I'm happy admitting that. I'm not saying that I'm going to start selling copies of someone else's game illegally. I would never do that. But
well, and it seems like if it's out of print, there's no harm done to get it for yourself,
for
right?
Just for myself, right. I mean, I would love to buy a new copy of that game, but I just can't. I don't have the option.
Right. And so. I've got two games that I really love that are out of print, and I hold those things tight, man.
Yeah.
Like that Castle and Lawless is the other one, the old Cathala game. That,
right.
Like, I found that one, too. It was like $100, and I will hold that one close because I love it. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's just something that I was thinking about some more. And it's an interesting conversation, I think, to have. Say that, you know, what about classic games that are, you know, objectively good games, but you just can't buy them anymore? And that's too bad. You know, it's too bad.
It is too bad.
Yeah. Like, if there was a Plague and Pestilence app or something. You know, because if we're talking about video games, whatever, you get an emulator, you download a ROM, and it's probably illegal.
Oh, that's way more illegal than what you're doing.
Exactly,
with, like,
right?
Your own copy.
But it's possible. But such a thing is not really possible for a tabletop game. So it's a bummer.
I would argue, though, there was for a time that it wouldn't have mattered. Like, if you could download an emulator of an old Nintendo game, once Nintendo stops selling those games, it's cool. But now because of the Wii and the Wii U, and you can download those old games, now it feels like a crime again. I mean, it was always a crime, but like...
Didn't feel so bad.
No, because you're like, this is my only option to get this. Ergo, I will do this to get this.
And in that example, I would... I mean, I don't have a Wii, but if I wanted to play all those new Nintendo games, I would much rather do that on a Nintendo console, right?
Of course, yeah.
You know, because then I know
that it's made for that.
Because it's made for that, and I know that it's going to work, right? And I don't have to fight with all kinds of garbage settings in those crappy emulators, you know?
Oh, there are so many garbage settings.
Oh, yeah. And,
why does this key not work on this level?
Yeah. And so there's no guarantee. But if Nintendo releases it and it's on a Nintendo platform and I can give them $5 for that thing, I'd be happy to do that. But anyway.
You know what's wrong with America today?
All kinds of things. You know what? Driving home, I'm going to interrupt your story real quick. Driving home from work today, I passed a pawn shop. And on the sign, okay, on the big sign advertising, it said 50% off jewelry and shotguns. I was like, America. Go on.
This is what's wrong with America. When we were kids playing on the old school Nintendo, those games are hard. And they were unforgiving. Like, three continues, dude, and you're out.
Yep.
And, like, now, you just save games at will. Mm-hmm. Like, they just save.
Well, that's...
What I'm saying is it's made us weak.
Sure. Well, that's the shift in the arcade culture versus home gaming culture.
Right.
Because arcade games were designed to get money out of you. Nintendo games still had that carryover, and so they were designed for high score, right? And they were not designed to be finished.
Right.
But modern games are designed to be completed, so they're not they're not as hard, with exceptions. But modern games, people make games today, and they want people to see all the content,
right? Yeah. As to unlock it all, yeah.
Right.
So, all right,
yeah.
Let's talk about our topic.
What's our topic for this week?
Well, right now it's Monday, the 21st.
Actually, as of the release date of this podcast, you're right.
Yeah, it's not today.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Sorry. Recording in advance always screws me up.
This weekend, it's Grand Con.
Woohoo! Grand Con! Woo!
So we're going to talk about Grand Con and what we're going to do with Grand Con and how fun Grand Con's going to be.
Yeah.
So
I love Grand Con. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So Grand Con, well, it goes Friday through Sunday.
Yep.
We're going to make an appearance every day. I'll be staying the whole time. You're going to travel to and fro because it's not that far.
Right. Are you going up all day Friday?
I think I took Friday off.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I took, pretty sure, I'm like 99% sure I took Friday off. If not, I probably will.
Yeah.
Just because it's just a day off work that I don't have to go to work.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm starting to think I should have done that.
I don't have anything scheduled for Friday, but I'll probably just take the day off.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, we got that training, so I'll probably take a half day.
Okay.
Probably leave at noon and just head straight up there.
I wonder if maybe I can shoehorn a half day into that, too.
Sure you could.
My boss is a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
He doesn't listen to the show, Rob. It's not going to help to suck up.
So Friday, I honestly don't know most of the events that are happening at Grand Con because I just haven't taken the time to look at it at the schedule.
I can tell you what event we're going to have most of the time. Playtesting.
Playtesting.
Playing other games. Doing crazy game stuff.
Right.
Well, there's one event that we both signed up for.
Yes.
GameCrafter is sponsoring a micro game design challenge.
The breakneck design challenge is what they're calling it.
The idea is you pay like $20 and they're going to give you a box of components, I guess?
Yeah, like the
is small, it randomized?
It's the small pro box size box from GameCrafter, but they have not said what's in the box. All they've said is micro game.
It's just empty.
Yeah, it could be.
$20 for an empty box.
16 blank cards, that's it.
So
yeah, we don't know what's in there. Hopefully,
16 blank cards, dude, that is awesome. I got games already designed.
Yeah, right.
I'm just going to be drawing them on those cards.
And I think they said the rules are in the box as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I hope that for $20, I hope there's more than, well, okay, so those small pro boxes are $5 a piece.
Yeah, but that's not GameCrafter, what they're actually paying for those boxes. So.
No, but so anyway, I hope that box has some good stuff.
They said
you
get to keep the components and that was a selling point. So I really hope that, but, how many people did they let sign up for it?
I want to say it was like 15 or 20 at the most. It might have been like 15 because I signed up today.
Oh, really?
And there were 11 slots left, so I got yeah. slot number 11, and I think there were only four other names on there as registered.
Mine was one of them.
Yours was one of them. So I think there were only
who else was on there?
I don't know. John Gilmore was on there.
Oh, so, come on, John. Yeah.
So he's not a judge. So
maybe we're both going to fight that guy.
Yeah. So
hey, you know what? Listen, this is what I say. There is no one better prepared for that challenge than us. Uh-huh. I'm not saying we're going to win. I'm saying we practice the pitch.
Our buddy Gray was on there too.
Gray does not have to do this every week. I love you, Gray, but you do not have to do this every week. But no, good. That's awesome that Gray's on there.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that it's...
I mean, that's already stiff competition if you ask me.
Right. Yes. My concern is that, like, I'm going to just try and do it and not think of a good idea, but, like, we have to present the idea. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to close my eyes and put headphones on and pretend I'm just on the show. Like, could I just do this pitch with this? Actually, I bet we could. Mm-hmm. I bet we could do our pitches with our recorder.
Oh yeah, we should totally ask them if they're cool with that.
Because then we could publish that.
Boy, that'd be we have to do that now.
Yeah, that would be the best bonus episode ever.
And I think you have to deliver or make the pitch on Saturday.
Yeah, in front of the panel of judges, and everyone's going to be there listening to your pitch.
So you basically have 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make this game.
Whatever.
Yeah. So
we usually have like 30 minutes. Because that's how long it takes for us to get to the pitch from
right.
the start of the show.
Yeah, but I'm not as adept with the microgame stuff. I mean, I haven't been thinking about it the way you have
it
lately.
It makes me happy that I've been thinking about microgame stuff. Yeah, yeah. Right. I feel like I'm in that space.
Sure.
So I think that'll help. You know who I'm really glad isn't going to be there? Tagmeyer.
Yeah.
Because that dude breathes and lives and eats and sleeps that stuff.
Yeah, that's his whole life.
And he comes up with pitches for people all the time on the fly. So.
That's what that guy does.
So yeah,
he just creates gold from his brain.
I bet stupid Katarski's gonna do it. Dang it, Lennox will probably do it too. Oh.
I don't know. I didn't sign up yet. They better hurry.
Don't sign up, guys. They probably already did at this point.
Yeah, but it's time. Yeah. So we have to pick up our packages there.
Anytime after noon on Friday.
Oh, I thought it was after 4.
Oh, after 4?
I think it's after 4.
Oh gosh.
We should double check.
I don't like that. I'm going to be up all stinking night trying to figure out my game.
I'll just pick it up and go home, play with it, and then come back the next morning with something to test.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
The best is the game doesn't actually have to work, right? I mean,
you just got
to
pitch it.
You just got to sound good.
Yeah, the winner gets
again,
cash.
Something else we're good at. Is just making a game sound kind of cool and not actually be feasible.
So. I'm sorry, we don't get cash. The winner get the first, second, third place, they get...
GameCrafter credits,
yeah,
right?
GameCrafter credits.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that.
There's some protos I've been meaning to print.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. So. Maybe I can get my own copy of Plague and Pestilence custom made. No.
Anyways, so GrantCon, yeah. So yeah. We're going to do that. I think it's really cool they're partnering with GameCrafter.
It's great, yeah.
Love it.
We talked with Mark and Brian a little bit last year about that stuff, and we talked with Tavis at Gen Con this year.
Yeah.
Tavis is one of the GameCrafter guys.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, about you know, he said, what do you guys think? Is it really, do you think we should do something? And of course, we were very, very pro.
Yeah,
pro GrantCon. Yeah, pro GrantCon. So, yeah. So anyway, so Friday we're gonna go up there and we'll shake some hands and we'll pick up our game boxes and we'll do whatever we can do. And then Saturday, I think it's just gonna be more of the same, right?
Yeah, Saturday we're gonna do a lot more playing games, a lot more playtesting.
I'm interested
in doing some shopping. They've got some really great artists there.
Do they?
And I'm still looking for some art.
They certainly did last year. Yeah.
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 I will have a trouble not buying something of Corinne Roberts again because she's the one who did the Wizard of Oz stuff I have. She's got some good stuff there.
Yeah.
I actually this year would consider, because we have the space for it now, buying an original if she's got one.
Oh, really?
Because she sells those. They're not that expensive. Like $100 maybe. They're pretty cheap comparatively, you know?
Yeah, so that's great.
So you had your chance to buy some sweet original art lately and decided.
Yeah, the other day we were at that bar. Creepy skull bunnies dancing and stuff. Christine wouldn't let me buy it.
It was so cool.
To be fair, I'd had a couple of beers and my judgment was impaired.
It would still look cool.
It would still look cool, but maybe I don't want creepy skull bunnies in my living room.
I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it. So
I mean, in my office upstairs maybe, but probably not.
You just sit there and stare at it.
Yeah.
And it start to spin.
It'd probably scare the cats, honestly. yeah.
So yeah, Saturday's going to be do some shopping, do a lot of play testing. I'm just excited to play some games. So I'm going to bring some games that I haven't played in a while, try and get people to play them. We're going to see some friends. Nate Darty's going to be there. Yep. Gray, I'm sure, will be there. Well, he signed up for that, so he's got to be.
Yep.
Still no word of Len's coming or not. I haven't heard
from him, yeah.
Hope he does. And then...
So what prototypes are you going to bring?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So I'll have Ramblers with me, really just in case there's anybody there I can pitch it to.
Mm-hmm.
I may try and do a couple play tests of it. I'm making the streamlined version of it, but I mean... I know how it's going to play because I know how it played before. So it'll play a little better because I've rebalanced stuff since making those changes. So I'm pretty confident about how that'll play.
Yeah.
Good or bad. I feel confident that it is. I know what it is. It's a known quantity. I'll have my brain game, cube brain game.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm actually going to do the re-theme other than I'm going to do goal cards that are in the theme.
Sure. Sure. If somebody's digging on it, you can say, here's the theme that I'm developing.
So I think that'll be cool. And I can explain the theme to them as we go to play.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is what this represents. I'm not an artist, and I couldn't make it look cool and balance it. So so those two, I'll have my Lumberjack game just because. I feel pretty good about that. I'd like to show it to Tarski and get some more feedback now that I've made the changes.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Matt Loomis is coming, by the way. Hopefully.
Okay.
He's in Chicago, so.
Okay.
I just thought that because he tested that game for me. Yep. I'm going to have my mailing game that I pitched last week.
Yeah, yeah.
We made some tweaks to that after playing it, and I want to give that a couple more tries. And that's a micro goes really fast, so I should be able to get, I'm hoping, 5 or 6 play tests of that in at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'm working on right now that I hope I'm going to take, that I think is going to get rethemed if it ends up working, is the River Mighty, which is a game I pitched a long time ago, and I was kind of having some trouble deciding what to work on, and you were like, hey, look at those old, you were doing these old card games and stuff, and you had specified one game, we were talking about that, and I was looking for the notes for that, and I found the notes for the River Mighty, and it's a really easy card game to prototype to figure out if it sucks or not. So you and I are going to try it this week, and I was able to go through today and figure out to stage it for 2, 3, and 4 player.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel pretty good about how that's going to work.
Good.
So, yeah, we'll see. So we'll try it as 2 players on lunch Thursday this week and see how it goes. Yeah.
Good.
What about you?
Well, obviously, like I said, I'll have Saloon Tycoon with me. Anybody who wants to play that, I'd be happy to set you up with it. I'm going to have the Inexorable March to the Grave I need to play it more to see how... See how it's working, you know, because with the shuffling the piles and whether the cards can come up, I want to see how likely it is for one player to get hosed just from a random shuffle.
Right.
And I want to try a few different balances of that shuffle to kind of speed up the tension, speed up the action.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to bring Rogue Scholar.
Yeah.
Because I have that one done, ready to go. I've only played it once, and the first time I played it was terrible. And so I did a ground-up rebalance on it and tweaked a lot of stuff, and I haven't had a chance to play it since I made those adjustments. So hopefully before Grand Con, I'll have a chance to play at least once before Grand Con. Maybe we can do that 1 week on our lunch break.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have that with me, too. I'd really like to try and play that at least once.
We'll have to do that this week or... The week after, or the week of Grand Gap.
Got your vacation.
Vacation next week.
Yeah.
Vacation.
I guess just those three are really all I'm going to focus on. I mean, I actually have another idea. I haven't prototyped yet. Another idea that I'm actually really excited about the potential on. I'll pitch that next week, I think. What'd you just do?
Watch.
What?
They move. See that?
Oh, that's neat.
Sorry. My screen's here, but my phone has these dots that move along the screen. Oh, yeah, look. Dude. I had no idea. And depending on which way you turn the phone when they're on, the dots flow in that direction, like lava lamp style. I had no idea.
That totally eats up your battery, though, doesn't it?
Probably. Yeah, I won't be using that. But anyways, sorry. We got to play test that. And Rogue Scholar.
Yes, we got to play test that.
Some point will be... Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, are you bringing more games, or was that all your games?
No, that's it. That's it. No, I was just saying that I've got that other idea that I'm actually pretty excited about. That so I'll pitch that either next week or in 2 weeks or whatever.
Oh yeah, that one sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna record an episode while we're there, but we're not gonna have like an official event because Matt Riddle didn't book the event for us. So
it's all Matt's fault.
Yeah. Matt said, you should do an event. I said, well, then book it. He didn't. So
We'll just have our handheld and we'll just kind of record stuff here and there.
Yeah.
Kind of randomly with people. And if we can record our pitches for that contest, that'll be a part of it.
Those will be our practicing the pitch for the week.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. So, I think it could be a lot of fun.
I don't know why they wouldn't let us do that.
Yeah, right. I mean, they know who we are. Some of them know who we are.
If they say no, I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to set this here as a prop.
I'm just going to put this in my shirt pocket right here next to my face.
Oh, now I wish we had those mics like Josh has.
Yeah, the lavs.
Yeah, the lav plug into my phone.
Man, I wonder how cheap those are.
He said about $80.
Ooh, that's not cheap at all.
No. He also said he bought the really nice one. But if I'm going to buy one, I want to buy one that's going to be worth
it. If we're going to use it a lot, yeah.
Right.
So we can do that with the handheld, I think. I can't imagine they'd say no, you know?
Right.
In fact, it might even be fun to just record everybody, if they're cool with that. Huh, that might be worth investigating. We could ask Tavis about that. See if we can just set up a mic. Whoops, as I bumped the table.
And just do a bonus episode.
Yeah, what do you think?
Just the pitches. Yeah, send him an email. You have his email, right?
I think so. I'll try and dig
up. If not, email the help at GameCrafter and be like, yo, dogs, this is Rob Couch. I need Tavis's number.
Yeah.
Or his email or something.
Something.
I think you have his email.
I probably have his email.
So.
Anyway, yeah.
Dude, email him. That's great.
I think it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just nothing fancy, just set up a microphone and we can do a little intro and yeah, I think it could be fun.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Anyway. So Sunday at Grand Con
is when we have to do the, that thing's on Saturday. Sunday is when we'll get our award. Well, I will, but, you could get second or third.
It's possible.
There's three places and only 15 people, dude. That's a 20% chance that one of us will get something.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, probably we won't because there's an 80% chance we won't. But, I mean, I'll take those odds.
Sure. Whatever. It's not about winning. It's about it'll be a fun experience, right?
I never won nothing in my life, Rob.
Yeah.
I just want a chance to win something.
You know what? I'm actually...
I've won lots of stuff.
Sure. I'm not listening. I was focused on my own idea, which I think the one thing I'm excited about most is more components that I can throw into my component jar. Yeah. I have a big glass candy jar, you know, like one of those big sphere candy jars that sits on its side with a big open top. And normally before like jawbreakers and crap, it's full of cubes and
do you have like on display somewhere? No, it's just
in my office. Yeah. So it's great. It's full of cubes and penny gems and meeples and all kinds of wonderful stuff.
That's a great idea.
I'm really happy that it exists. It feels good every time I look at it and dig my hand into there and
now you're getting creepy.
Well, you know.
Okay, I'm going to pitch a game now.
Do that.
So
change the subject.
All right. So I'm pitching a game this week. This will be kind of a quick pitch because it's a simple game. But, so this is a game we actually play tested, and I'm going to pitch the standard game, how it was, and then I'm going to kind of tell you the changes Rob and I talked about making that I haven't made yet that I was hoping to make for Grand Con, but I feel like I'm probably not going to. So I just don't think I'm going to have time. Okay, so this game was called The Robot Cowboys of Dakota Territory. The idea is alternate U.S. history where the Civil War was fought by steampunk robots, because why not?
Is that alternate history? I thought that actually happened.
We just don't talk about it, Rob.
Oh.
Each player has two robots in their employ, and what they're trying to do with those two robots is herd cattle.
Are they robots?
Did I say robots?
No, I'm just saying it's the Old West, so I think that's how a cowboy would say robot.
We will never know, because there weren't actually robots back then, but...
But I'm just saying.
These dang robots, dang nabbit.
Dang robots.
Anyways, so
these machines.
Shit throwing me off, dude. So each player has two robots in their employ. And the idea is these robots are herding cattle for you. Because the war is over, you've now repurposed them to herd cattle through Dakota Territory. And you're like, what am I going to do? I got to get these things across. So you've got these map pieces, right? At the beginning of the game, you make a map of 7 maps long. And each map piece is a different type of terrain, whether it's a marsh or a bog or a mountain or plateaus or plains or different stuff, right? One is Indian territory. One is a town. One is a bandit territory.
Sure.
So that sort of thing, right? So the idea is you have to get your guys through. There's X number of spaces on each one, and that varies from 4 to 6 based on how difficult the territory is. And your robots start out as one robot as a fighting robot. And, well, you know what? These are part of the changes we made, but whatever. I'm just going to pitch it that
okay.
way. It's too hard to break it apart. One robot's a fighting robot. The other is like a butler robot, right? But, again, repurposed for doing what they're trying to do. And the robot has three sections. It has a head, it has a torso, and it has legs. Obviously, that's a simplification, but, hey, shut up. It's a game. So at the beginning of the game, the one starts with bonuses to fighting. The other one starts with bonuses to cooperation. Meaning that if your two robots are together on any map piece, they get bonuses for movement, right? Now, the idea is you move two spaces each turn. And again, you want to be the first person to get your robots to the end.
To herd your cattle.
To herd your cattle to the end, right. But everywhere your robot moves, the herd comes with them. And it's, in fact, it's all just defined by one token. On your turn, you get to move one robot. Doesn't matter. I could move the same robot 4 turns in a row. Doesn't matter. Or I could alternate back and forth. I move one, my opponent moves one, I move one, my opponent moves one. It's up to 4 players. And the idea is, like I said, you can move 2 spaces, but also on your turn, you can swap out one piece from one of your robots. So the head, the torso, or the legs, with one from your hand. Now, the ones from your hand are designed for herding cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple things you should know about that. One is each piece that you put on a robot, beyond the base ones, makes you really good at one type of terrain, okay at another type of terrain, and really bad at a third type. Mm-hmm. Now, each of those territory tiles I told you about with the different terrain, each of those has a primary thing, this is mostly what they are, mm-hmm. and then they have a negative thing. Like, so for instance, in Indian territory, stealth is your best bet, right? If you're doing stealth, that's great, because you'll get through and you won't even be detected with your loud cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they're magic robots, dude. but if you have, if you are geared towards fighting, you actually get a negative because you're probably going to lose that fight because you're one robot, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Native Americans have robots or not, but they probably don't need them, right?
Are these robot cattle?
No.
No, they're just regular
cattle.
It's
like a robot cowboy.
Okay. Got it.
Oh, yeah.
Just making sure.
How would you herd robot cattle?
I'm just saying.
They herd themselves.
I'm just asking a question.
So the idea is you're trying to manipulate your robots to make them better at crossing certain distances, right, on their turns. Now, what's cool is you can change. I could move robot A, but I could swap a part on robot B, right? So you're not always swapping a part on the same robot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, each part you have has a number of hit points in it, right? And that's just correlated by. It has hash marks on it, and that tells you when you get hit, you have to turn it, and when you get hit X number of times, it falls off, right? It's no good anymore. And once you've turned it twice, so it's lost half its hit points, it doesn't give you any bonus anymore. It's just there.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't give you a negative. Once you lose a part, you lose that you lose your movement with that robot for a turn.
Okay.
If you pass someone in a square, like so if I'm on a tile with you and I pass that, right, you get to attack me when I pass you.
Okay.
Which the way you're going to determine that is by playing card, because on the cards, I think this is what we haven't tested yet. On the robot cards for the mm-hmm. pieces, I think there's also going to be an attack value. So you could play that out as an attack.
Okay.
Or you could use it as a piece. And that's going to determine how much damage it does to me versus... whatever my health is for that one.
Got it.
I can't attack you back. Like, it's just I'm passing you, and that lets you hit me as I'm passing you. Kind of like smack
sure.
me on the way
a
back.
A free attack.
Right, because I'm focusing on... Kind of, it's like old school D&D. If you move past me, I can attack you.
Sure.
Because you're focusing on moving.
Attack of
I'm focusing on stabbing you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what they actually called that. Attack mm-hmm. of opportunity.
Right.
Some people would say opportunity attack. I didn't like that. Attack of opportunity sounds cooler.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I prefer that.
So,
yep.
And that's basically the game. First person to get both of their robots to the end wins.
Both robots. So, is there any point in there where you can risk damage to your cattle?
Not right now.
Have you considered doing that?
No, because we just added damage to your robots.
Sure.
I haven't even tested that yet.
Okay.
You schmuck.
Sure. It's just the first thing that popped in my head as I was thinking through this here, as I was listening to you and remembering what we played and what we talked about before. That might be too much to manage, so it might be a terrible idea.
Maybe one extra card, though, per player, right? You got a cattle card.
Right.
And somehow you track damage on said cattle card.
You could just be a cattle card and just have a track of numbers on it, you know, 1 to 20 or something. You move a cube to track how many are left. And, you know, and you want to get at least one cattle across. And maybe sometimes you can sacrifice your cattle to go faster or something.
Well, and you also could then, like, at the end, getting there first doesn't necessarily win. Getting there first might get you a bonus.
Right, but the more cattle you have.
The more cattle you have.
Yeah.
You know.
Might be an idea, too.
It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah. So. It's the only other thought that I have about it today. But, yeah, it was interesting before. I mean, when we played it, it's been several weeks since we played it. Gosh. It worked okay. I don't think we actually finished the game because we kind of got a feel for how it was playing. And when we were playing, you were focused on getting one guy as far ahead as you possibly could, and I was just alternating between moving both of my guys and keeping them together. And I'm not sure which one would have been a more winning strategy.
Without the attacking, it was hard. Like, I think with the attacking, getting one guy ahead is cool because that guy's going to get hopefully through with more cattle without having to deal with someone else. So I think you kind of have to, the player who goes first, I think, would kind of set the tone for that
I
game.
I think so, yeah.
So unless you could get ahead by having better pieces, right? Mm-hmm. So part of the it's almost like hand management, but with your robot, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to decide, what do I want to have on my robot? Like, am I going to, that's good for right now? Mm-hmm. Or, that's good for two tiles from now. Mm-hmm. So, and remember, you could have an awesome thing for a tile, but you could also have two sucky things and then end up still only moving two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, of course, the other thought is that player one is probably more likely to win because they go first. So if there's no way for player two to, you know, just kind of risk reward kind of thing, I don't know.
I would say it's
I'm probably thinking about too much, having only played it once and additional changes added
because
that we don't even know.
Because it's only one move, I would think it's negligible to be the person who goes first.
Okay. Yeah. So. I'm probably thinking too hard about something that I haven't experienced yet.
So, anyways, that's the game.
Okay.
We have a voicemail.
Oh, hey, voicemails are good.
It's from our friend Nate Darty. Get out of our heads, dude.
Dude, we're sick of you.
Just kidding.
Ugh.
No. But hey, we do have a voicemail.
Not kidding.
Hey, guys, it's Nate. I'm getting pretty excited about about Grand Con here coming up soon. But actually, I told Jason I'd call and comment on the board game show connection. You guys were talking about how you get the audience involved. I don't know exactly about audience, but I thought if you had a cooperative game where each individual player had their own press your luck sort of mechanic going, that might get that idea, because you have a goal that you complete together, but each of you has to decide how far to go, so the other members of the team might encourage you to stop or to keep going, depending. So quick, easy example that I thought of that I don't know how it would work in reality. Let's say you all had to cross a creek by stepping on stones, but some of the stones were wet, so you might fall in and then you'd have to do it all over again. But you only win if everyone crosses the creek. So maybe it was some dice mechanic that says whether or not you slip. So each individual player would have to choose how far they go before they stop. But then the other players would have to either encourage them to continue or tell them to stop based on how they think the team as a whole would do to cross the creek. So something like that, I thought, is a way to kind of get that audience pressure mechanic into a board game that kind of steals from the game show idea. So I'll see you guys in about 2 weeks or so. Bye.
Yeah, audience participation. That's a good thought. So that, isn't that just quarterbacking, though?
Peer pressure and quarterbacking are different, yeah. I think. I think in a dice game about people crossing a river where there's not as much strategy, you're not going to get quarterbacking.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be like Forbidden Island, where you'd be like, you do this and I do that, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, with the randomness of the die roll, you're right, that's different. So it would have to be tied to a pressure luck situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the audience goes, yeah, one more, or no, stop.
That gives me an interesting idea for a mechanic, though. What if I still keep coming back to the area, the Warehouse 51 money mechanic, right?
Yeah.
And the idea of me doing something good for me helps you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's with passing the money. What if, like, I'm trying to think of an idea for, like, a press your luck game where me pressing my luck farther helps me and then hurts you. But if I bust, helps you, not, like, indirectly, like zombie dice, say, where if I bust, you have a better chance of winning because I'm lower in score now.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a dice pool, say. There's, like, a dice pool that we're going to share, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm rolling dice, and I'm going to keep going. I keep taking dice out of the pool, which is hosing you for your next turn, right? Mm-hmm. And then if I stop, I keep those dice, and you only get what you get the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
But if I bust, oh, a bunch of those dice go back now. So, yeah. Anyways, I don't know how that would work, but that just seems interesting to me.
Yeah, sure.
So thank you, Nate, for causing discussion and interest.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Now I'm thinking about that, too.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have any emails or anything else?
No.
No, we've kind of are short on them a little bit right now because we're recording so far in advance.
Right. Doesn't help.
Yeah. So so the next episode you guys hear from us will be recorded at GrandCon.
We did have a comment on the website, I think from Robbie Gibson, who said, hey, you forgot about To Tell the Truth and the Pyramid Game. As two game show games that were interesting mechanics.
I see. I'm not familiar with either of those.
Tell the Truth is where you're trying to figure out who is telling the truth and who's lying.
Oh, okay. By and asking, like, them questions, like, and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then the pyramid game, you know, pyramid, right? Like, you're just trying to get the points to the pyramid.
I don't remember.
Where, like, so, like, it's the classic, like, I'm trying to get you to guess something by giving you clues.
Oh, catchphrase, basically.
Yeah, but it's like the pyramid game is like, I would be like, beer bottles, liquor, people, music.
Bar?
Yeah, so your answer would be things you might find in a bar.
Okay.
Because it's always like things you might.
Okay.
Or something
things you might find in a bar. Okay.
So, yeah, that's right. Except for a picture that I'm Betty White and you're some person no one cares about.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And if I succeed to that, then I win money.
Yes.
Okay. Is this the $45,000 pyramid or whatever?
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Maybe that's not what he's talking about. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
So.
And then you have to keep climbing up the pyramid. And you do that within a time limit, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you stop when you get there and you get the number of points you get. So
okay.
That's what I got.
Okay.
All right. That's probably good.
All right. Yeah, so so next week we'll have our show recorded at GrandCon, and the week after that it'll be back to regular old BTG business.
And business is booming.
Well, it's doing okay.
Kind of.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Doing okay. We get by.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks everybody for listening to the show. We appreciate it as always. If you want to get in touch with us, you know how to do all this stuff. Come on. Just in case this is your first time listening, thanks. Welcome. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to billinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason is at JASlingerland, and I'm at poorly_design. You can like us on Facebook. You can review us on iTunes and on Stitcher. 5 stars or whatever the equivalent is on Stitcher. We should really look that up.
We're not going to.
Also, if this is your first time listening to the show, go to our website, which is buildingthegamepodcast.com. On there, you can buy your own copy of Water Balloon Washout, which is a game by Jason Slingerland. And you can find links to the Game Crafter, where you can get your own copy of the Rumplebum Academy for bug-based baking, and finish it, the outrageous storytelling party game, two of the best games you'll ever play.
Probably not.
Hey, they're pretty darn good.
Finish It's pretty good.
Finish It's great, and Rumplebum is good.
Rumplebum's not bad, I just don't think it's one of the best games you'll ever play.
It's a good, solid game for families.
Whatever.
Just like Water Balloon Washout.
Except for not as good. I'm just kidding.
All right, I'm done
with
you.
It's a great game. You can also tell lies about us with hashtag BTG rumors.
Yeah, we haven't got any of those in a while.
Yeah, do some of those, because we got a prize for those.
Yeah.
The hashtag prize has been set up, hasn't been sent yet, because they asked us to wait till after GrandCon.
Right, right.
So
So hashtag BTG rumors, tweet that, and tell horrible, stinking, wrong lies about us. Call our Google voice number, which is 770-TEL-BTG, and keep listening to the show, because what else do you have to do?
Makes us feel good.
On a Monday morning. Not work, right? Yeah.
Good night.
you.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Robots. So you've got... rebooting? Okay, let's go. All right. So each player has two robots.